This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Chaos Theory Kegger. GA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Dubuque to Delaware, Kalamazoo and Waterloo are on the air.
Because they listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Big show for you. Glad to be back after the long weekend. Glad to have some time off. Glad to be back in the saddle again. And boy, we come back like gangbusters this morning. We have everything covered today. We've got Yankees v. Red Sox, American League East. Winner might have to get 100 wins just to take home the division and avoid the one-game playoff. The pressure is on both the Red Sox and Yankees. Will either one pull off a trade before the deadline? Also, always something to talk about this offseason when it comes to the Patriots. Are they trading Gronk? And Kawhi Leonard trade talk for the Celtics. We'll talk to Dan Shaughnessy about all of that coming up here from the Boston Globe, one of our favorite guests, in about 35 minutes from now. Also, next hour, how about former college football All-American offensive lineman, former first-round pick in the NFL, offensive lineman Matt Stichcomb. He's now a college football analyst for ESPN. We'll talk about the college football preseason. We've got SEC Media Days going on right now. This is good. We've got a lot of action going on right now when it comes to college football. It's right around the corner. Don't look now. We'll talk to Matt Stichcomb about that coming up on the show next hour. Also, MMA fans, heavyweight fighter out of the PFL, Josh Cuddly Bear Copeland in studio. The Cuddly Bear. That's next hour, and we'll recap the World Cup with our soccer insider, one of my favorite guys to talk soccer with, the global game, JJ Devaney. He's joined us throughout the World Cup. We'll get his final thoughts on France taking home the World Cup on Sunday. So all of that, and he'll be in studio, all of that this morning on the show, bingo, bango, we have got it all covered. As always, the phone numbers for you guys. Hit me up on any of these topics that we're going to be talking about. Last night, home run derby, the Steelers and Le'Veon Bell. It's also a Trash Tuesday, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Hit me up on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. And watch the simulcast at watchda.com. That simulcast is cooking, and that is mobile friendly, and you can watch the show, and we are in your living room or on your phone, wherever you want to watch us. Aren't we all, Tamika Catchings?
Oh, okay.
Let's start, though, with the home run derby last night. Bryce Harper, a guy that elicits a lot of emotion, both good and bad, positive and negative. Last night, Bryce Harper was the show. Yeah, I mean, it's cool to watch a bunch of home runs. I thought ESPN spray charts always kind of cool. But ultimately, we've seen the home run derby before, and outside of Bryce Harper, these were not superstar names. We had a lot of guys that probably a lot of layman, casual baseball fans have not heard of. But we had Bryce Harper, one of the biggest celebrities in the game, at home, in D.C., and he was the show. He was the name, he was the show, and he's the guy we always talk about, not only when he's great, but also when he's not so great like this year, and the Nationals are hovering around 500, and he's hitting 215, and he's going to be a free agent. And does he want to go to the Yankees? Is he going to get a huge deal? Is he going to get a $500 million deal, a $400 million deal, a $300 million deal? Is he worth it? Is he a malcontent? Is he a superstar? Is he just scratching the surface of his potential? Do you pay him? Do you pay Manny Machado? What's going to happen in D.C.? Is this the final run for the Nationals with this group? He gets us to talk about baseball. Not always positive. But last night was more of the same because he comes out last night in front of the home crowd and instead of wearing the ball cap like everybody else, he's wearing a do-rag. He's wearing a bandana. Stars and Stripes bandana. And he's got a sleeve, batting sleeve, Stars and Stripes. And he's got socks, Stars and Stripes. And he's out there for the show. And not only does he look like the show, he actually delivers on the show by stroking those home runs again. Schwarber in the final, demolishing home runs in such a finite amount of time, and then a walk-off winner with the bonus time. The show delivered. Bryce Harper delivered. That was a moment. That was Ken Griffey Jr. backwards hat. That was Josh Hamilton deep into the night at Yankee Stadium. Those were moments you'll remember. Bryce Harper winning in D.C. with the headband. But a lot of people don't like him. A lot of people say no hustle, me first guy, bad attitude, petulant. But we're talking about Bryce Harper, aren't we? The question is Bryce Harper good because we're talking about him or bad because so many people dislike him for baseball? So where we begin, your cold open.
I woke up this morning, I was sitting there and I was talking to my wife and she's like, I'm just going to enjoy it. Win, lose, or draw, that's all I care. That's all I can ask for is, this crowd to show up. They did, and having the support of my, my family, like I said, and, my D.C. family as well. This wasn't only for me or my family and everybody like that, but this is for, the cook and the guy that works the front and the people that work upstairs. And I mean, this is for the whole city of D.C. And, I was very fortunate to be able to bring this back to them and do it here.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic Harp Grundy.
It's D.A.'s top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Well, look. Do I think the cook cares about Bryce Harper winning a home run derby? I do not. I frankly do not think that last night was for the city of D.C. If you're talking about winning a World Series, even getting a World Series, you know what? Let's even lower the bar for the Nats. Getting out of the first round, winning a playoff series, we can start talking about what it means to the city of D.C. Winning a home run derby, I mean, let's get real. When you win the slam dunk contest, does Blake Griffin go, this is for the city of Los Angeles? This is for the city. I won this slam dunk contest by jumping over a miniature-sized car. This is for the city of Southern California's residents and L.A. I mean, let's get real. I think Bryce Harper's laying it on really thick. And frankly, I wonder if Bryce Harper's laying it on thick because he knows he won't be back next season. And maybe this is kind of a farewell. I'm doing it for you guys. This is for the cook. But beyond that, I don't really care about that because athletes say a lot of bonkers things sometimes. And maybe he's just trying to curry some favor within the city of a team that's 500 and him hitting 214 that might leave in the offseason. I think the bigger thing is he brings sizzle. He brings eyeballs. He brings interest. And there is so little of that in Major League Baseball. There are a few moments in baseball, a few players in baseball that you always knew, boy, I got to talk about him. I got to care about him. I got to watch him because if I don't, somebody else is going to have a take about him. He might do something. He might go somewhere. He might hit something or pitch something or do something that I'm going to end up talking about with my buddy. So I got to know what's going on. And I got to take on Bryce Harper. Last night, you can't tell me that a 10-year-old's not watching the Home Run Derby going, I like that guy. That guy's got the headband. That guy's revving up the crowd. That guy's almost playing a wrestling heel at times last night. Pumping up the crowd, yelling, bellowing, bleep, yeah, in winning a home run derby. You know, the home run derby doesn't really matter, obviously. It's a bunch of guys rooting for each other. I mean, that's the weird thing. It's almost like the guy that loses is doing the towel waving on the guy that wins. The guy that loses is almost too jovial, too happy that he's losing. But here's Bryce Harper acting like it really matters. And then doing what he did and delivering. Not that he fizzled out early, but actually living up to the drama. And in baseball, who are the best players? Mike Trout, Manny Machado, Clayton Kershaw, Bryce Harper. But those previous three guys, they don't bring the storylines like Bryce. I know people don't like that he's not hustling right now, and that's become kind of a storyline and a narrative, and I'm not defending that. And I'm certainly understanding those people that say, I don't know if I can trust Bryce Harper when he gets all that money. I don't know if he's going to be injury prone. I don't know if I'm going to get consistent MVP seasons and production out of him. I don't know where his head's at. I get that. But if you're going to ask me, is Bryce Harper good or bad for baseball? He's good. Because I know watching it last night, I was into it. And it's an exhibition home run hitting contest. But he made it a show, and that's what that is supposed to be. And that's what the sport is supposed to be at a certain element. And baseball lacks that. There's a lack of action. There's a lack of connection from youth. There's a lack of real pizzazz in storylines. And Bryce Harper brings that, good and bad. And so because he brings it, it has to be good. It has to be good. I loved watching him last night, and I just think if you're focusing on Bryce Harper dogging it down the first baseline, and that's why you just simply can't enjoy his moments, I think you're doing it wrong. I just think last night, if you're a baseball fan, that's fun. And how often is baseball fun these days? What'd you think about Bryce last night? 855. 212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return, we've got your best audio of the day in soundcheck form, including Michael Irvin, weighing in on T.O. and the whole Hall of Fame induction controversy. So that's all coming up next. Also, Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe's going to join us in about a half hour from now, even a little bit less, on all the crazy things swirling around Boston right now, sports-wise. All that this hour, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Aw, that's so nice of you. The wettest show on radio.
A little wet, a little drippy.
It's wet, it's moist. It ain't dry snacks like so many other places around the sports media landscape. Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you could always check out full episodes of the show on iTunes. Search DA and CBS Sports. Also available on the website, CBS, DA on CBS.com. Now, Thursday night at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, tune into CBS Sports Network and follow the stories of struggle and strength on some of the world's greatest athletes. It's the 2018 CrossFit Games Road to the Fittest on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Coming up this hour on the show, Dan Shaughnessy is going to join us, Boston Globe. Always fun to have Dano drop on by the show, and there's always something going on. I'd like to get the latest on whether the Celtics are still in the Kawhi Leonard conversations, as well as if there's truth to the idea that the Patriots could trade Gronk before the beginning of the season. And plus, oh, by the way, the Red Sox might have to win 101 games just to avoid a one-game playoff. All that going on in Boston. We'll talk to Dan Shaughnessy coming up here in about 10 minutes from now. It's a Trash Tuesday as well. We'll get to trashes in the third hour of the show from yours truly and the guys here inside the studio, but we'll be reading through your trashes throughout the morning. So hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS, or on the phones, 855-212-4CBS. It's time for your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, we begin with Michael Irvin, a Hall of Fame wide receiver from his days with the Dallas Cowboys, winner of 3 championships in 4 years as part of the 1990s Cowboys dynasty. What did he think when he heard that T.O. would be missing the Hall of Fame induction ceremony?
I still didn't get clarification to why he's not showing up. But going into that conversation, I was very, very angry with him for making this decision. And I tell you guys why. First of all, yes, people are going to take this and say, well, this is exactly what we were talking about. T.O. couldn't get along with any team that he's been on. And now he's on the ultimate team, and here he is again doing the same thing. He can't get along with his Hall of Fame teammates.
Michael Irvin on NFL Total Access. You know, when Michael Irvin is wondering about you and acting out, lashing out, you might have a problem here. T.O. has I believe, a personality disorder. I believe he's got a personality disorder which self-destructs relationships. I think he's been this way around everybody in his life forever. He's never had a steady, solid relationship with a coach. He's never had one with his quarterback. He doesn't have one with his former organizations. And now he's not going to have one with the Hall of Fame. T.O. probably deals with a narcissistic disorder. Maybe there's something else, but T.O. is so consumed by himself that he has no idea that he self-combusts every relationship around him. And I think it's very telling that from all the coaches and quarterbacks he's ever played with and played for, whether it's Mariucci or Jeff Garcia or Tony Romo or Bill Parcells or Donovan McNabb or Andy Reid, go down the list. Nobody will consider him an ally. And really nobody can honestly and truly compliment him to the utmost degree. Now, as a Hall of Fame candidate, he put up amazing numbers. And at his best, he was one of the greatest wrecking balls as a wide receiver in NFL history. So I don't disagree with him being in the Hall of Fame. I had no problem, though, of him not getting in early to the Hall of Fame because he was destructive within the locker room, and that factors in to greatness on the football field. You can't be a negative to your team emotionally, distraction-wise, chemistry-wise, and it be totally ignored as one of the greats of the game. But this is just par for the course. T.O. does not know how to play well with others because he simply self-combusts and destroys all relationships. Bryce Harper last night after winning the home run title.
He hit my barrel, you know, 9 straight or something like that. And, I couldn't be more fortunate to have him thrown to me. You know, so blessed. I mean, I got one of the best, you know, families in all of the world. Just so happy to be able to share that moment with them and share that moment with my family and this crowd and these fans. You know, it's, they did a great job.
Bryce Harper talking about his dad throwing pitches as he wins the home run derby last night. Like I said, I just thought it was a fun show. And I know that Bryce Harper gets dogged for lack of effort, lack of hustle, maybe checking out when the team's not doing so well, or he certainly has enemies around Major League Baseball. But to me, he provides a show and he provides fun more than he doesn't. And I don't think anything that he does has real intentional malicious intent. And because of that, I like watching him, and I like that he brings sizzle, he brings a story, he brings fun, because I think it's just so lacking in Major League Baseball these days. And Cristiano Ronaldo, big international news, being sold to Juventus. And now changing leagues, and we'll play in Serie A in Italy. And this move is enormous in world soccer, global soccer.
For me, it's another challenge. I love challenge. The league, it's very, very tough, but I will be ready. Juve is ready. I will be ready. I will be there. The age is not important. I feel good. I feel motivated, exciting. And I'm looking forward to start the league well and try to win every title.
It's just annoying that Cristiano Ronaldo can be that handsome, that good at his sport, and have that accent. I mean, can we take away something from the gene pool lottery on him? I mean, he just came up with Powerball in every category. Oh, so you're going to be one of the greatest ever at your sport. Okay, check. And you're going to look like a male model and have abs of steel. Okay, check. And you'll just speak like a really debonair international business icon and romanticist, and every female will basically just drop and faint when they hear you speak about your transfer fee. I mean, it's just so annoying.
For me, it's another challenge. I love challenge.
Well, that wasn't so debonair. But ultimately, he does just sound like he looks. He's just got that tall, dark, and handsome thing going on, and he's one of the greats of all time. I mean, come on, give us something over here, Ronaldo.
But I will be ready. Juve is ready. I will be ready. I will be there.
And people that say he's over the hill, whatever, 33 years old. I mean, if you saw him in the World Cup, he didn't look like he was over the hill, right? He's still doing amazing things. That hat trick in the opening matchup was astounding. I mean, he's just, the guy is one of the greatest ever, and he still got it. And I know Real Madrid, I mean, he's won league titles for him and all-time leading scorer and total winner for them and male model. And now with Juventus, I just think that, you know, look, it's just hard to mark down anything on him these days, anything. And he'll probably look like he's 33 years old until he's like 83, right?
I feel good.
Just give me the way. I look good. I know. So handsome. I feel very good. And that is your sound check. When we come back, all the crazy things circling around Boston sports these days with Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe, including, are the Patriots really looking at trading Gronk before the season? DA, CBS Sports Radio, and dessert coordinator Brett Heller has your headlines.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Oh, that's the mothership. Trash Tuesday, hit us up on Twitter, DA on CBS, and let me know what you're trashing. I'll read them throughout the show. Also, listen to us on SiriusXM 206 if your local affiliate's not carrying us, if you're on the move, rental car perhaps, on vacation this summer season, SiriusXM 206. Now, our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Our next guest, one of our favorite guests I've here on the show, been joining the show for years, esteemed and award-winning Boston Globe columnist Dan Shaughnessy. Dan, good morning.
What's up, DA?
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, it's so interesting because after having moved out of Boston, I still have so many friends in Boston, and a few of them were telling me it's unlike any time in Patriots lore before history because people, at least some, have started to turn on Tom Brady. There's a sour taste in some Patriots fans' mouths this offseason that was never there before when it came to Tom Brady. Are you sensing that as well, and why specifically is that?
I think there's a little of that, DA. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of noise around that team, you know, for the last year and a half. And, I mean, what we need to preface everything is by saying I don't think any of it impacts too much of them getting where they want to go. Given the caliber of competition in the AFC East and the conference, I think they're back in the AFC Championship. So they're going to, you know, win their 11, 12, 13 games, you know, get the first round bye, second round home game, boom, see how they can do. That goes on unless Brady gets hurt. Independent of that, I think all the noise we're hearing is true, that there is trouble at the top, coach, owner, quarterback, you know, anger about that Garoppolo had to be dealt because Brady, you know, stomped his feet about that. Brady not showing up for OTAs, kind of thumbing his nose at it. You know, it's just been, and you know, the whole TB12 message with the subliminal messages here and there, Tom versus time and not feeling appreciated. And, you know, maybe I won't be playing forever after saying he would play forever and they trade Garoppolo. So those sort of things, you know, some of the football hardcore hardliners are not as happy with him, but you know how it'll go, DA. Once the game starts, and he's slinging it up there, and they're killing the Bills, Dolphins, and the Jets. It'll all be good here again.
Do you think that Tom Brady's relationship right now with Bill Belichick is as weak, maybe, as it's ever been?
I find that believable, only it's a lot of years. You're talking 18, 19 years in here. And the little hints that were sent there, I mean, he's sitting with Jim Gray, that stooge, and it's like, do you feel appreciated? And it's like, well, that's a hard question. You know, well, it's not a hard question. It's a yes or no question. And he really wants us to think that there's trouble there. And then he doesn't show up for OTAs. And you can go, his track record on that is his own quotes come back to bite him. Like, this is what good teams do. These are important, blah, blah, blah. Well, why aren't they important now? I mean, I thought that's what good teams did and good teammates did and all that. So I don't think it'll make that much difference, but I think from the emotional standpoint and the hard feelings part of this, those things do exist. I think you've got a coach who's angry that he had to trade Garoppolo because he identified the next guy, and I think he takes pride in that. And Tom basically outlived the succession plan, which was good for the Patriots and good for the short term. Might not be good for the long term, but right now they're still benefiting off that. But I think that the owner got involved and took the side of the player. And here we are. But it's an unusual year in Patriot land because, as you say, it was starting off here, it's not all harmony in the Patriot way, and they're different from everybody else, and they're just going to come back and crush you, and they're all together in it.
Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe, joining us this morning on the show. You've covered Tom Brady's duration of his career. Do you see having... You're always down in Foxborough. You're always talking to him on Wednesdays at his press conferences. You're talking to players. You're talking to coaches. Have you witnessed and observed a change in Brady towards the tail end of his career where he's not the same guy that he used to be?
Well, I'm not in there as much, anywhere near as much as I used to be because it's not rewarded. I mean, we go down there. You worked here long enough to know you go down there and it's like covering the Pentagon. But to that point, so a lot of what we get these days, DA, when they do the press conferences, it's, you know, it's boilerplate and people do their thing, and Tom's careful with his words always. It's the social media, it's the Instagrams, it's the Tom versus Time, it's the paid interviews with Jim Gray, all this stuff out there where the little truths seep in. And then Bill gets his shots in. If you remember when Brady had the cut hand and he played the playoff game
sure.
with the stitches? And Bill finally was like, it's not like he had open heart surgery, you know, and I think that's the kind of, everybody kind of gets their little digs in there in their own way. And there's still, DA, I mean, you know the fans in this region, that Malcolm Butler thing, that'll never be right. And the fact that Belichick wouldn't explain it, there's fans, it's kind of a, you're either on Team Tom or Team Bill right now. And the Team Tom guys are like, hey, until he explains why Butler didn't play, he cost Tom a Super Bowl. He cost us a Super Bowl. We don't like him anymore. We got that going on, too.
Yeah. Do you believe that the Patriots would take trade offers for Gronk up until the start of the season?
I don't think it would help him this year, but I think that, again, the mentality of the coach and the player tells me that nothing's off the table there. I think that's where the line is. The line's between Brady and Gronk, and I don't think the coach can trade Brady or could trade Brady, but I don't think the owner would ever allow that. And that's where the Garoppolo thing went down the way it did, I believe. Gronk's a different story because I think they see the shelf life on him as another year or two anyway. And the behavior and him kind of thumbing his nose. And there's the whole Alex Guerrero, the nefarious trainer guy that now Gronk has aligned himself with. And Gronk not showing up at OTAs. And I don't know whether it's about money or his health or what have you. But we all know they'll never get value for him compared to what they have with him. So they got a chance to win a Super Bowl or two before it's over here. I think they keep him. But we could wake up tomorrow and they traded his butt out of here and it wouldn't be a big surprise.
Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe, joins us on the show. Feels like the steam of Kawhi Leonard and the Celtics being involved in trade talks has had some of that taken out of the sails. But it's hard to know what's reality and what's not. Do you think that Danny Ainge is continually trying to fish for Kawhi, or do you think the price was too high and Danny said, I like my team, we're just going to go full steam ahead?
Well, Danny's a big, bold thinker. He loves talent. He's a great evaluator, and he will do what he thinks is best for his team. He also has the luxury of the fallback now, which is, you know, plan B, you just cited there, DA, which is to do nothing, is to get Haywood and Irving back to a team that was, you know, within one quarter of getting to the NBA Finals and just saw LeBron James leave the conference. I mean, if they do nothing, they are prohibitive frontrunners to get to the NBA Finals. But if they bring in Leonard, yeah, if the pieces are right, you don't have to give up Brown or Tatum, but I don't see how he can do that. So I think once you get into the Brown-Tatum thing, that conversation stops, and San Antonio's got to get a lot back.
Would then next offseason, if they did not trade for him, do you think that Danny would angle for him as a free agent? Does he have his desires with Anthony Davis? Is he still looking for another huge talent to add to this roster? Or do you think Danny believes this team as presently constituted could be good enough to take down the Warriors to win a title?
I think he loves his team as it is, but he will do things. I mean, he was the only one traded when the Celtics had Bird, Parrish, McHale, DJ, and Ainge. The only one they traded was Danny Ainge. I mean, they held on to those guys too long, and it hurt the franchise. So Danny has first-hand experience because he was the guy who got sent out when they wouldn't trade the others. He's not emotional about this. He can be Belichick-like in that he will be a little bit bloodless about improving his team. So I wouldn't rule anything out, but there's a lot to like. I just cannot see them trading Tatum. I mean, you know, hey, if you're getting into the brow, that's a whole other category, I suppose. You gotta think about anything then. But I really don't think he wants to trade Tatum or Brown. I think he's very strongly wants to keep them. If he can figure out a way to get those kinds of talents without moving those guys, that's another story.
How about Kyrie Irving, though? Because he's not committed long-term. You never know what he's thinking. Maybe he doesn't even mind playing for a winner. Maybe he wants to play for just a team where he can be the man, maybe the Knicks, maybe somewhere else. Do you think that Kyrie has a long-term future in Boston?
Yeah, that's a really good question because, you know, he hasn't committed beyond next year. Why would he? You hold your options open. You see how things play out. There's always the notion that these Jersey guys have this mecca idea that Madison Square Garden is the place you got to go to be a basketball guy, even though no one does that anymore. But he may be – he's a weird guy. I mean, he's a contrarian. You know, he thinks the earth is flat, all this sort of stuff. So I don't blame him for not committing. what you say about him wanting to be his team, that could get into it. I think he probably wasn't in love with the notion that, that there was any kind of flirtation about LeBron coming to Boston. So, I think that we'll see how it plays out. For three quarters of a year, D.A., he was as good as we've seen. And now he's coming back with Gordon Hayward. And, again, LeBron out of the conference. So it's good to see. But beyond next year, things could look different. It's the NBA 2018.
Final question is about the Red Sox. Do you think, or what do you think, they feel they need to do to make sure they stave off the Yankees and avoid that one-game playoff down the stretch? Will they make a trade over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, they're not really well-positioned for that because the farm system's empty and they're up against the luxury tax threshold. But their pitching, it's weird. They're 68-30, and they're at a little bit of a issue because Rodriguez, who's 11-2, just went down. I don't know that they can count on him. Pomerantz and Wright are already down, so they're really down to like three steady starters and then fill-in guys. And like you say, someone's going to win 105 and then go to a one-game playoff. They don't want it to be them. They got a 4.5-game lead. I just think the Yankees are better positioned to do something bigger at the break. But this thing's going to be interesting, D.A. They play the Yankees 10 more times. Their schedule is going to be easy. They're going to win another 100 in a row after the break. They got Detroit, Minnesota, Baltimore. And then it starts to toughen up for Boston, and we'll see if that thing gets tight in September.
Dan Shaughnessy, follow him on Twitter, @Dan_Shaughnessy, Boston Globe, author of Curse of the Bambino, award-winning writer for not only that book, as I mentioned, but the Boston Globe as well. Always love having him drop by the show and join us. Dano, it's always good, man. Thanks so much for carving out time for us today.
Thanks, D.A. Take care, man.
Dan Shaughnessy joining us this morning on the show. So much good stuff from Dan there. And it's just like Boston's always the mecca and the epicenter of all these crazy sports stories. On all of those things, I think that the Patriots will keep open the option of trading Gronk if they get a really good offer. I think that is on the table. The only guy that's not on the table to me is Tom Brady, because Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft will not allow Brady to end his career anywhere else. I talked about last week this kind of funky relationship between Jerry Jones, Tony Romo, and Jason Garrett, where they're all best buds, like hangover movies. It's a lot the same way between the Krafts and Tom Brady. I think they're just best buds, and they just don't want Brady to go anywhere else. They look at him as kind of like a son. But I think that Gronk's a different story, and I think what Shaughnessy said right there was absolutely right. I think they think there's only a year or two left in the shelf life of Gronk really being elite anyway because of injury history, because of the physicality of his game, because of wearing down anyway. So I think they always try to strike a year early rather than a year late. And if they get a good deal from now up until the start of the season, make no bones about it. They'll at least consider it. But I know that Tom Brady is going to throw a stink if they do, and that's going to be part of the inner controversy about trading away Gronk right now, because Brady's going to say, how many more runs do I have? How many runs do we have? You can't afford to let him go. I think on the Celtics front, Kyrie doesn't strike me as the type of guy that is going to buy in long-term in Boston because of the banners up top, the mystique, the aura, the legends, or chances to win a title. I really think that Kyrie wants his own team. That's why he shot his way out of Cleveland. That's why he didn't want to wait on LeBron. And I think a year from now, a summer from now, it's going to be more important to him to be the man somewhere. And I'm not sure he can be the man with the burgeoning talent in Boston. Tatum could be the man. When you have Hayward there, you have another potential all-star, all-NBA guy every year. Obviously, Jaylen Brown's very, very good. You're part of a team. And I think that there is a part of Kyrie that wants to be the alpha male. He wants to be the Batman, not the Robin. I don't think he's ever going to be really good enough to be the Batman and be one of the top three players of the NBA. But I think he wants that, and that's why I don't think he's going to be long-term buying in Boston. When we come back here on the show, did the Steelers screw up the Le'Veon Bell negotiations? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.